The UK Report.
With Gavin Gray joining us on the line from London. A very good morning to you, Gavin. We start with the former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair saying that some EU leaders may be prepared to compromise on the free movement of people to help Britain stay in that single market. He claims that apparently the one option is for Britain to stay within a reformed EU. What does it all mean, I wonder?
Yes, good morning, Africa. Brexit means Brexit, we're being told. Well, not if Tony Blair gets it way. We do know that he thinks it's been a bad decision for the country. He believes it'll be bad for trade. The sticking point over so much of this and the negotiations, which are conducted, of course, over the next 20-odd months, are that in order to maintain free trade, a single Europe and single market with Europe, we would need to accept, as we currently do, but won't when we leave, free movement of people. So that basically means we have to allow as many Europeans to come to the country and work, to claim benefits if they're out of work, to settle here as possible. But the problem is Britain is pretty much creaking under the strain of so many coming in. There are currently 6 million people in this country, and many voted in Brexit because they just felt it was couldn't cope anymore, and there are certainly no signs the European Union gets bigger and bigger that that is going to change. So it has been a major source of contention. But Tony Blair says he has spoken, as former Prime Minister, he has spoken recently to other European Union leaders, and he believes that actually there is a situation possible where they might be willing to compromise on the free movement of people and indeed on the ability of migrants to claim benefits in order to keep Britain in the European Union and within the single market. Now, he says this isn't just a whim, this isn't just him thinking out loud. He believes there are room for compromise here, and also claim the majorities of people in France, Germany and the UK support changes around benefits with regards to those who come to Europe without a job. He's also suggesting as well that basically we would be then allowed or enabled to rip up the vote to Brexit and then be allowed to stay. And he says that this is an important step forward and we shouldn't effectively just ignore this offer. Well, his critics are saying this is a man who hasn't moved on, but people have moved on, and this is a man who's desperate still to hold political sway. We will see whether his comments take any friction on what happens now.
In the meantime, an EU naval mission aimed at stopping mass migration into Europe has failed to stop the flow and has even led to an increase in deaths, apparently.
Yes, this report is really pretty damning. It looked at how the European Union had tried to both prevent smuggling and cut down on smuggling. Now, Operation Sophia was what was launched by the European Union. It cost £15 million, and it really has been seen as a failure all around, according to this report. There are one or two elements that they say have worked, but at this cost of just about 200 50 million South African rand, it certainly didn't help tackle people smuggling in any meaningful way, is the quote. It certainly didn't deter migrants or disrupt the criminal networks behind them. It may even have led to an increase in the number of people attempting it and dying. In 2015, there were nearly 3,000 deaths. In 2016, there were 4,500 deaths. And up to a couple of weeks ago in this year, the numbers are roughly going to be the same, 2,100 of the 6 months. So it is desperately sad. The report commended the rescue of 33,000 migrants, including at least 15,000 by the British Royal Navy, but said really a naval mission is the wrong tool for tackling this, and this EU operation had been well-meaning but simply didn't work properly. The initiative was first launched in 2015 after hundreds of migrants drowned trying to reach Europe. And what the naval operation tried to do was disrupt the business model of human smuggling and trafficking networks in the southern central Mediterranean. And, of course, we know that North Africa is a key stopping off point for those trying to get to Europe before they try and cross the Mediterranean on this very, very dangerous journey.
We were reflecting on this earlier on this morning, but the UK is looking to review prison sentencing of acid attacks after a steep rise of caustic substances being thrown at victims. Last week alone saw 5 attacks in 90 minutes in northeast of London.
Yes, and there were 400 attacks in the 6 months alone here in the UK. Acid, corrosive substances, can be bought by anyone and just over the counter, because they effectively can be found under most people's kitchen sinks as a cleaner. Now, the problem is that young people who now are realizing there is, in this country at least, a very heavy penalty to be paid for carrying a knife, are, it's reported, turning to acid as an attack method. Now, basically, in some instances, it's being reported that the acid is being put into drinks bottles in order to be able to take the acid into schools. Now, we haven't had reports of school attacks, but some, it's said, are using it almost as a weapon of defense. In other words, if they're attacked, they will spray it. And this acid can lead to some really horrendous injuries. We've seen this around the world, and in India as well, it's gaining in popularity as a form of attack. Politicians and survivors have called for tough sentences on perpetrators, and the MPs here in the UK are to debate the issue in the Commons on Monday. The Home Secretary says that the attackers must feel the full force of the law. This really came to a head because on Thursday, in one night, as I mentioned there, there were 5 attacks in a small area of northeast London. One of the victims is said to have life-changing injuries. It happened in the space of just an hour and a half. And a 16-year-old has been arrested. What's interesting about the attacks is that you might be thinking, gosh, are people just doing this, you know, because they think it's funny or because they're bored? Why? Well, in this recent attack or spate of attacks, the 16-year-old that's alleged to have been behind it, along with a 15-year-old who's also been released, the 16-year-old has been charged with 3 counts of robbery, 4 counts of attempted robbery, grievous bodily harm, and handling stolen goods. In other words, it's being used as a weapon to incapacitate somebody before allegedly trying to steal whatever they have.
Disturbing story indeed. Now, it turns out that the weaker value of the pound has led to a massive increase in tourism to the UK.
Yes, now come on, Africa, get your passport out, get your bags packed. We are cheap at the moment here in the UK, and anyone who's been to the UK before is probably used to a varying rand exchange rate. After all, the rand itself has been fluctuating significantly, of course. But it is being reported that the number of visitors to the UK has absolutely boomed. It's risen by 21%. And overall, there were 8.3 million visits in the first quarter. That's a rise of 10% on the same period last year. So this boom shows no sign of being just a spike. Visitors spent £4.5 billion, so roughly 32 billion South African rand while in the country. That's a record amount. And although, of course, when you're coming to a country where this currency is low, that can be a boom for the exports of British people trying to manufacture things and send them abroad. It's not good if you're a British tourist going abroad, or if you're a Briton becoming a tourist elsewhere. So that hasn't been very good, but it's been interesting because the number of people going abroad has not actually changed here in the UK, so it's not putting people off. The only slight downside, and whether this is Brexit or confidence in the economy or not, I don't know, the number of business visitors has slightly declined. Overall, looking at the different nationalities, the number of Americans, particularly significant, up 16%, and their spending grew by a third. There's a record number of Chinese nationals visiting, 54,000 in the last year, and they were very heavy spenders too. Australian and French visitors also make up the top 4.
Now, we are used to sitting through around 20 minutes of trailers and adverts, I suppose, before sitting down to enjoy whatever blockbuster movie that you are about to see. But I would have acted very much like the cinema goers who went to Wonder Woman, who saw a 7-minute long trailer of Dunkirk, a movie that opens shortly, I think, in the UK. I would have thought I was watching the wrong movie.
Yes, and lots of people have, particularly those who went to watch Wonder Woman, because Wonder Woman, which is a Warner Bros. Film, had been due to start at a particular time in a cinema. And cinema goers got there early. They saw a couple of trailers. They saw some adverts. And then as their film was due to begin, up popped this film. And it said feature presentation. But it clearly was not Wonder Woman, the proto-feminist superhero film. Instead, it was a film about the Dunkirk evacuation in 1941. Dunkirk is Christopher Nolan's depiction and epic, according to those who have seen it, of a film about the evacuation from Dunkirk Beach and the terrible fighting therein in World War II. But this promotion not only starts with the words, as I mentioned, feature presentation, it then lasts 7 minutes. And many people who went to watch Wonder Woman actually thought they'd gone into the wrong screen of a multiplex cinema and began to sort of shuffle their feet and walk out. Actually, what had happened was they were in the right venue. It was just that this promotion goes on and on for 7 minutes, which is pretty much, I think, on a record. I know you're a keen cinema goer yourself, Africa, and I know these presentations and features normally last a couple of minutes, maybe 3 minutes at a stretch. So, yeah, boy, lots of them pretty confused about this, seeing lots of planes dogfighting and people being shot rather than Wonder Woman working her magic.
Gavin Gray, thank you very much as always for your time. Gavin will be back with us next week, Sunday, for another UK Report.